You got your Bible this morning. I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. And I want to share with you this morning from the Word of God on the subject of the idea of reducing the congregation to an audience. Reducing the congregation to an audience. My purpose this morning, and God has showed me, is in our agreeing and asking Brian and Felicia to come and minister alongside of us with our youth and our children stuff, that some folks might get the wrong idea. That's not going to be a dumping ground for all of our problems because we haven't had leadership in that direction in the past. What I'm saying to you is that they can only be as effective as you and I help them to be. They can't do it all by themselves. Like Brother Larry couldn't do it all by himself. Brother Ernie, we all depend upon one another. We all have our individual jobs that we're responsible for in our hearts and our lives. But it's the task of we as your leaders, myself, Brother Ernie, and Ryan, Felicia, as they come, it's their task to help train God's people here at Bexley for ministry. Oh, Brother, I ain't gonna go there. I ain't no preacher now. I ain't doing that. And what I'm talking about, you know. But I'm talking to you about Jesus dying on that cross for our sins. And what that opened the door for us in our hearts and our lives. And the things that are happening in our lives. Think about Peter with me for a moment. You know, Peter, he was quick to speak and got himself in a lot of trouble a lot of times, kind of like Brother Larry, you know. And what he's doing. But the Lord asked Peter one day in conversation with him, "Peter, whom say ye that men say that I am?" And Peter answered, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." What did the Lord tell him? "Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal that unto thee, but my Father, which art in heaven." He changed his name. He said, "Thou art no longer Peter, Simon, but Peter, stone." You know? "And upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." You know? That was the purpose for the gift that the Lord had gave to Peter. Before the Lord called him, what was Peter? A fisherman. Now you tell me how you can tie a fisherman to an evangelist, a minister, a person with a purpose in our hearts and our lives, and what it is that he wants us to do. In the situation that Peter is writing in this letter, that epistle that he's sharing here, he is trying to convert them from how things used to be to how things are now. There's going to be a difference, you know, in the way that we maybe do our worship service and stuff, to allow our children and our youth and others to participate and bless our hearts and what they've learned and what they've done and what they've been able to do and stuff and everything. But here's the way I see it, and I have to get in simple terms, you know. But now we kind of operate under a pyramid type of worship, where Brother Larry's at the top, and Brother Ernie's up under there, and the church is below that, you know. And it just stagnant there and been that way for many, many years, you know. Hadn't progressed, hadn't done what the potential was that perhaps we could have done in the Lord's work. But I want to broaden that pyramid. And I want you to use your imagination for me. And I want you to draw a great big circle. And instead of a pyramid, I want it to be a circle. Inside that circle, you know, there's going to be a lot of little circles. All right? One of those little circles is going to be Brother Larry. One's going to be Brother Ernie. One's going to be Brian and Felicia. One after another, I hope, are you. And that you're going to be willing to step up and do your part, your gift. Well, Brother Larry, I don't know about that, you know. Gifts, you know. All of us, God has given gifts. And our hearts and our lives. I wrote a little statement down that I read in a book one time of Billy Graham's. And the statement said, God gave me a gift. He's talking about himself. He said he didn't give me that gift for me, but he gave me that gift for you. And he said, but he gave that gift to you. But for me, if you don't use your gift, you're depriving me. And if I don't use my gift, I'm robbing you. He gave me a gift. He gave you a gift. If I'm not using my gift and you're not using your gift, you're depriving me and I'm robbing you. It's simply what Billy Graham said. Now you think about that for a minute in our hearts and our lives. What we're capable of. None of us guys up here singing a few minutes ago claim to be great singers by any sort. Got a great leader. Great man of God has given his time and his talents to use those things and that. But here in chapter 2, I want to point out a few things to you. Of 1 Peter chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envy and all evil speaking. We got to get rid of some stuff in order to take on some stuff that God has for us in our hearts and our lives. Okay? In that circle that I asked you to draw, and I mentioned the staff, we'll call them, of the inner circle of that. But there's a circle in there for you in your heart and your life. God said he gave all a gift. So you can't exclude yourself out of that, okay? We'll talk about that more in just a minute. But he said here, in writing of this epistle here, to lay aside all malice and guile and hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking, you know. Can be all kinds of comments made and all kind of thoughts done and all kind of things. But if we on target with what the Lord's got for us in our hearts and our lives, That ought not even enter into our minds in any way, shape, fashion, or form. Second verse, he said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Are you satisfied with your walk with the Lord right where you are now? Or do you want to grow? Do you want the blessings of God, of being His servant in that inner circle, doing His will? If Brian and them comes in, their task is to train us, and he leads us down a particular path, you know. Are we going to join him? Are we going to sincerely desire the milk of the word and grow and become what he wants us to be? If so, be ye, have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If we want to grow, we're going to see just how gracious God can be to us in our hearts and our lives. I think that's a key element that we've lost along the way. Been satisfied to just come in and sit down and be an audience. Just listen to what the choir sings. Just listen to the sermon that's presented. And content to get up and go home. See you next Sunday. Man, what we miss it when we do that. What the Lord's sharing. He said, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. That stone that was disallowed of men was Jesus. What'd they do to him? Nailed him to a cross, didn't they? He said here, they disallowed indeed of men, but he was chosen of God and precious. And then listen what he says here. Ye also are a living stone and are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. There's a lot said in that verse of Scripture. Number one, you are a living stone, lively stone. You're built up into a spiritual house. How spiritual would you say you are? You know? What do you mean, brother? Spiritual. And your heart and your life. But the things that are happening, he's building on something here. Follow him. He said, not only are you building up a spiritual house, but a holy priesthood. Now, what was the job of the priest in the Old Testament? Peter's still having trouble, just like John, or just like Paul, and just like so many other writers of the New Testament did. They wanted to hold on to Old Testament law. Right? Under Old Testament law, no one was to enter into the sanctum sanctorum of holiness or the presence of God but the priest. And the priest had to be from the tribe of Levi. And they had to do certain sacrifices. They had to choose a lamb that was without spot or blemish, to go in and sacrifice that lamb. That lamb had to die for the sins of the people. And they then in turn took the meat and gave it to the priest for them to feed their families for. And the things that was happening. But when Jesus came and lived and died on that cross. He was the sacrificial lamb that took away all the Old Testament needs there and opened the door, that veil of the tent that no one was entered into but the priest and him only once a year, and then with only blood. That tent was rent and opened up where you and me and anyone else who would ask the Lord to forgive them of their sins and save their soul had atonement for that sin. And he said they cast him out, just like he was a stone that the builder couldn't use. And he died on that cross for us. Look at verse 6. Now this is the part I want you to really, really pay attention to, okay? Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Zion is where? City of God. Beautiful Jerusalem. He said, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Where, when the builder gets ready to build the building, he lays it out and begins work. And that corner, that chief cornerstone, elect, means chosen, that word elect there, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Anybody want to tell me what that word confounded means, the way it's used there? That's right. Not be put to shame is the simplest terms I can put it in. All right. We don't want to be confounded. We don't want to be put to shame. So what do we do? How do we handle that? You know? Little song we used to sing, I can't remember it all, but it says, must I empty-handed go? Must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul have I. You know? What about us? How are we going to be? He gave his only begotten Son, elect or chosen to be the Savior of the world. Precious. He's his own Son. How you feel? And he that believeth on him shall not be put to shame. I don't want us to face the Lord shamefaced. You know, I refer to him all the time, but old Isaiah, bless his heart, he was as godly a man as he were in his day and time. But when he saw the Lord, he realized what? His sinfulness, didn't he? Verse 7 says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builder disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. That same one they kicked out is brought back. And the new Jerusalem, the new Savior, the New Testament, no longer the old, you know, is made the head of the corner to do what the Lord would have him to do in his heart and his life. You know what happened when that took place? There's no longer a distinction between the clergy or the preacher and the layperson. All God's people are now ministers of God. When he died on that cross, he made each one of us his ministers in our hearts and our lives. What's the one thing that you and I can do in our ministry that going to help our church to grow and become what God wants it to become? we got to apply ourselves to that picture. In that circle I asked you to draw, and I put in the key players that we have now. And I ask you, where is your inner circle inside that circle and stuff? Some of you look at me like deer in the headlights, you know, and stuff. But have you ever thought about it? Well, you say, well, Brother Larry, well, we bring Brian for him to do the things that we desire him to do. Say, all right, Brian, root hog or dog, do the best you can. How successful is he going to be? Not going to be very successful, is he? But if we begin to look around, just start in our own families, our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers and stuff. And talk up instead of talking down. Like he said to begin with, first thing we got to do is get rid of all that guile and stuff. Disobedience. And say, you know, well, that's my brother's kids. They over there across the road, you know. They don't go to church, no. Start talking to them. Say, you know, we're starting a new day at Bexley. We got some folks going to come in. They're going to work with us, you know. I was so proud last Sunday night when Ernie Ray and Seal come in. You know what they had with them? They had two young men, two boys. And they had shared with them Sunday afternoon what we were going to do and how we were going to try to put all this together, succeed in God's plan. You know what they wanted to know? Can we go tonight? And they came just like they was. Didn't have on their Sunday best, by no means. But there's just two old boys excited about the possibilities, what could be. What did Seal and Ure do when they shared that with them? They ministered. Do you know anybody? You got any neighbors? You got any family, any friends, anybody? And you and I are those living stones that he talked about. Now, how did that house become a home with those stones? Somebody had to stack them on top of one another, didn't they? For them to become a home. If we're going to become the house of God that he wants us to be, we got to start building our foundation. Brian, I've got all the confidence in the world. Can help lead us and train us, direct us, and whatever you want to talk about. But we got to be here for him. We got to let him be the leader that God wants him to be. We can never, ever come to the idea in our hearts and our minds that when we bring them on board, that's a burden off us. And we sit back and just want to become an audience and just watch and see and hear Brother Larry preach and Brother Ernest sing and Brian lead our young people. Ain't got to worry about them calling on me anymore, you know. You know, I told my own wife, I said, she is glad, said, whew, vacation Bible school. First thing, I said, what are you talking about, vacation? You enjoyed every minute of it. Yeah, but I was so tired. And I said, that's what was so good about it. You put yourself in there. You made yourself be what to. And nothing, folks, nothing helps you grow like service spiritually in your heart and your life. You're going to get a whole lot more out of it than what you put into it most of the time by just being obedient and our hearts and our lives, what He wants us to do. Now let's close this out here. He said there is a stone of stumbling and there is a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were, what's that word? Appointed. Given a gift, saying, this is what I want you to do. God's calling you to a place of service in this church, and you're resisting that, you become a stumbling block. You become a rock of offense. And you cause others to stumble at the word. Being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. All of us have a gift. We got to find that gift and use it. Here's what he tells you. The whole summation of the first 8 verses I give you is sewed up in verse 9, okay? But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who have called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. When He called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, what did He do? He forgave you of your sins and saved your soul, didn't He? He said, you're a chosen generation, group of people. You know, 2025. What do you want it to be? Come tomorrow, what a lot of people are going to do is put a lot of emphasis on who? Our new president, aren't we? But can he do it alone? No. And I'm afraid if we're not careful, we put more weight on him than he's able to bear. So what should we be doing? Saying, I'm hoping, we ought to be, as Ms. Winnie said, we ought to be praying that he can do it. I seen Brother Jeffrey's First Baptist Dallas's statement this morning of how he felt that God-fearing people had prayed and lifted up this election. And God had answered our prayers. But does it stop here? Get it down on a little smaller level. God directed our prayers, our hopes for the future of our church. And just because Brian's coming on, is that the answer? Where's your little inner circle? Robin, he picks at me all the time. He said, mine's filling the baptistry and fixing the plumbing, you know. Miss Rachel's teaching those few little kids that we have in Sunday school, and, you know. Miss Winnie's janitor, and keeping this place. Brother George, keeping the grounds so great. On and on and on, our little inner circle. Are you in that circle or are you out of that circle? I got news for you. You're in that circle. You just might not be inside the circle, inside that circle. And that's your place where the Lord wants you to be. But Brother Larry, you don't understand. I do understand. He said, you are a chosen generation. This age group right here that he's talking about, or a royal priesthood. You know, priest is just one who carries the message of God. Carry that message to a lost and dying world out there. I was at the funeral home yesterday morning. I was waiting to get time for it to start, you know. And came a man in that we're all familiar with, you know. And he walked up to me and he said, "Congratulations. I understand you're getting you some relief." I said, "I hope it's not relief. I hope it puts me to work." You know, and he looked at me. He said, "Well, you need to slow down a little bit." I said, "I'm ready to go faster than I've ever been. We got a whole community." I said, "Your pew's empty, man. You ought to be in." I know what he said. You know, we got to start inviting people. We got to start talking our church out. We got to be positive. We got to be sincere what we believe. Royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Well, them folks looked at me like I was crazy. Praise the Lord. You're right where the Lord wants you. You're a peculiar people. You know? That you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous work. There's not a time or a place in our hearts and our lives that we ought not be lifting up the name of God in our hearts and our lives. The things that he's done. Now I want to ask you one more thing and I'll dismiss. Do you want our church to just become an audience? Or are we going to become the body of Christ? We're going to do his will in our hearts and our lives. Don't think. Brian's not going to call on us to do things, you know. But what's going to discourage you more than anything else? Puts his heart and soul into it and his wife and everything. And we don't support him. How far is that ministry going to go? Not very far, is it? Start looking around. Start paying attention. Start talking to the children. Everyone I talk to about ministry of youth and children, so you get the kids, mom and daddy will follow. You know, I'm not looking for numbers, folks. I'm looking for souls to get saved. People come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior of their heart and their life. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for the time that we've had to share. Brother Ernie will come and share with us a time of invitation. I wonder, God, if you'd search our hearts and give us the answer. Am I going to be a helper, or I'm just going to be a member of the audience? Am I going to do with the gift that you've given me the best of my ability, Lord, or am I just going to be an audience? Whatever your will, Lord, search us and know us. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing, Brother Ernie.